Hello, friends. It's time for the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Morning Announcements with yours truly, Jim Gifford, and my partner in crime, Spencer Rivers. Brought to you by the good people at Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor. And there is a good chance that you have walked through a special light door when you go into a local restaurant or visit a school or a store or walk into a manufacturing plant. So thank you to Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor and enjoy your morning announcements. 94.9 WSJ.
This is where Thanksgiving really begins, isn't it?
Well, now, if you're referring to the aroma of roast turkey, I concur.
See it.
I've got plenty to be thankful for. I haven't got a great big yacht to sail from shore to shore. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
I suspect that if you do enough soul searching, you'll find out you've probably got a goodly amount to be thankful for. At least hope so.
No private car, no caviar, no carpet on my floor.
What? No carpet on your floor? Is that a euphemism? Where are we going with this? All my floors are hardwood. And I don't know what that means. All right. I've already gone off the rails here. Sorry about that. It's 6:13 on WSJM. It is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Jim Gifford here. And Spencer Rivers is taking a break, and a well-deserved one. Andrew Green filling in, as you heard, in the newsroom. We begin page one of your morning announcements here with this rather interesting headline in the Herald Palladium this morning. And it just says, what's going on with the Orchards Mall? I added my own inflection there, but still, I like the headline. What's going on with the Orchards Mall? Which I'm sure if you ever go out that way and then perhaps even drive through the property, that would crush your mind as well. What on earth is going on with the Orchards Mall? Anyway, the story is just about the fact that there's nothing going on at the Orchards Mall. And Tony Witkowski and the crew over at the HP have been, I guess, trying to get a hold of people that own it and people involved, and just there's nobody around. Nobody takes a call. There's no management. And that's which I'm sure prompted the headline. What is going on with the Orchards Mall? So, anyway, we don't know. If we hear of something, we'll be sure to pass it along. While you're probably not shopping there, there will be plenty of other shopping going on around here. Oh, hey, one other quick update on while we're in the St. Joe Benton Harbor Metroplex here. You may have noticed that the John and Dee Dee Howard Ice Arena is not open. It was supposed to on the 21st, Monday, but that didn't happen. And that's, as you might expect, pandemic-related. Have had to close down because of the new restrictions. And at this point, the earliest that they might open would be December 8th. But if you need specifics and want to keep up to speed on what the status is, just check out the St. Joe City website, and they will take care of it that way. All right, what else do we know here, Paige? Well, let's get the COVID stuff out of the way here. It's relevant, it's important, and I know we're all tired of it, but nonetheless. So you've downsized your Thanksgiving celebration, and instead of 25 people, you got it down to 10. Some guy down at the Georgia Institute for Technology, some numbers cruncher, some math nerd or something, puts numbers to all of this stuff to find out what the chances are that somebody at your dinner table has coronavirus. And he did this specifically. I get it, did it for others, but these are the specific numbers for Michigan. And what he has come up with, based on all of the data, all the stats that are out there, is that the chances that somebody at your dinner table has coronavirus, more than 41% if you have a 10-person gathering. That was specifically for Grand Rapids and Muskegon. Again, calculations by the researchers at the Georgia Institute for Technology. About 1 in 3, about 33% for a dinner held in Saginaw. About 25% for a dinner held in Kalamazoo. One in five for Ann Arbor or Detroit, according to these researchers. They did not do the numbers for our little corner of the world. But if you bump that number of in attendance from 10 up to 20, the percent chance of somebody having COVID and probably not knowing it go up as well. Odds go up to 65% in Kent County, 59% in Saginaw, 44% in Kalamazoo, 35% in Washtenaw County. So if you're thinking, wait, man, those are high numbers. If I got 20 people around the Thanksgiving table and I am in Kent County, there's a 65% chance that at least somebody in that group has. That seems like a big number. But realize, if you think those are large numbers, coronavirus transmission throughout Michigan and most of the country is at alarming levels, in case you hadn't been paying attention. Experts agree many cases are going undetected. We talked about the asymptomatic sorts the other day with Todd Dougherty from Woodland Terrace. It's a real issue. Researchers stressing these calculations do not indicate the risk of you catching the coronavirus, but rather the likelihood that a gathering will have someone in attendance who is contagious. And again, just because you are near that person doesn't necessarily mean you'll get it, but just some numbers to mull about and roll around in your cabeza this morning. And otherwise, to get the coronavirus stuff in and out of the way here, Michigan's average coronavirus deaths per day now up to 80 over the last week. That's the highest seven-day average in more than 6 months. Almost 7,000 new cases and 80 new deaths per day. That's the average over the last 7 days. 2 weeks ago, the average is 5,000 cases, 46 dying. So we go from 5,000 to almost 7,000 and 46 up to 80. Labs across the state processed almost 71,000 COVID tests just on Monday. Almost, 13% came back positive. Infectious disease people want that rate to be less than 3. We are not in a good situation there. So I guess the takeaway on all of this is be careful. Do your thing, you know, and keep your gatherings to an absolute minimum and do the distancing and things. So, people, we're going to be out shopping. I've noticed that parking lots, the stores seem relatively crowded even ahead of Thanksgiving here. So people are still going to get their shop on. And we've got a couple of tips here this morning in page one of your morning announcements on how to stay away from or perhaps save you from shopping scams. Now, a lot of these have to do with online shopping, but nonetheless, when it comes to Black Friday, the tips are to beware of offers that seem to be good, too good to be true. You know that old adage, if it's too good, if it seems too good to be true, it most likely is. Their recommendation here is that most major retailers and websites have similar deals, especially on the hot items. Whatever those might be, air fryers or flat-screen TVs or whatever. So their recommendation is if you see something that seems really, like a super deal, check pricing at other stores and websites. Beware of prices that are significantly lower. Likely a catch in there somewhere, either a super low-quality item or some other issue there. Do the research. Research the store or the website at Better Business Bureau. That's BBB.org. Shop at places you know and trust. And know the return policy, too. How long do you have to return it? Do you need the receipt? Does it have to remain in the package? The return window begins when you purchase the item, not when you give it as a gift. So keep that in mind. For Cyber Monday, just because it's on social media doesn't make it true. And hopefully you've figured that out by now. Beware of offers on social media. Many complaints to the Better Business Bureau from customers who made a purchase through a website they found on social media and never received their order. So keep that in mind. Research the websites before you make a purchase. Again, the BBB.org thing is a good place to start. Do a Google search if you're not familiar with the website. If you can't find information about the website, probably hasn't been around very long. Probably ought to steer clear of that. Shop sites you know and trust. Look for the item you want on websites you already know and trust. Use a credit card, not a debit card. Credit cards give consumers added protections if the purchase goes wrong. Double check delivery times and return policies. COVID-19 has extended some delivery times. So before you make a purchase, understand that. Now then, after that, of course, Giving Tuesday, as we heard the other day from Jennifer Tomchick at the United Way. So when you're getting into that, plan giving ahead of time. Don't wait for an organization to contact you. Think about causes and groups and make a plan to give. Research the charity. The place to go there is give.org. Learn about the organization. See if they've taken part in the Better Business Bureau's free charity review program. Contact the charity yourself and ask questions. Learn about them that way. Don't feel pressured to give. Avoid committing to a donation when contacted by phone. That's just, I've had that policy in my head and in my household since forever. I have never given to someone who has called on the phone or solicited in that way. If I'm going to do that, I'll figure out ahead of time where it's going and I'll take care of that. All right, so there, some tips on shopping coming up here, because if you haven't already started, probably going to get going here after Turkey Day tomorrow. Boy, the economy is humming. Well, parts of it, anyway. I remain convinced that we need a much better representative metric than the daily Dow Jones average to give us a sense of how we're doing economically. That said, this is nevertheless pretty impressive. The Dow turned more than a few heads yesterday, closing above 30,000 for the first time in history. So I guess so much for the gloom and doom of 2020. Up almost, 450-plus points yesterday, 30,046 the close. Thanksgiving dinner will be nothing like last year as we try to figure out how to celebrate and do that in a socially distant fashion, figure out how to divide a 15-pound bird among two or three people. Wall Street apparently doesn't care about all that. They're saving room for pie next year. They are hyper-focused on the potential for the rollout of vaccines, possibly later this year and early next, to combat the spread of COVID-19. That's what's got them all excited. Also, some excitement at the Elon Musk household. Perhaps another face to be considered for the Mount Rushmore of the Uber rich. Tech guy Elon Musk has now topped Microsoft's Bill Gates to become the world's second richest man. Net worth jumped to $7.2 billion after the shares in his car company surged here recently. Only Amazon's Jeff Bezos is richer than that. So there you go. You got Bezos and now Elon Musk, Bill Gates, and who would the fourth one be? That investor dude whose name I can't think of at the moment. Well, anyway, it's 6:24. That's page one of your morning announcements. 43 at the studio. Some of you may be driving through a little fog on the way in today. Winds are light in the southeast at 4. At News Talk Sports, 94.9 WSJM. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, since I won't be here tomorrow morning for that purpose. We'll pass it along a little early here today. By the way, you did hear that the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, Christmas, and so on and so forth will be available on PBS this year. There was some concern early when we found out that Apple TV had bought the rights, and that was going to be the only place you could watch that. And of course, you had to have a subscription. But they relented and allowed PBS to broadcast them for free TV this year. Here's your morning mind cleanse as we begin page two of your morning announcements. Get rid of all of the heavy stuff in your head for just a couple of moments here. All the political nonsense that we hopefully have put behind us. The heavy weight of COVID on all of us. Think about some other silly things for a moment. With this morning mind cleanse from our friends to the north, as Canadian officials have an important message for you. Probably not for us, since we're not allowed to go to Canada, but for their own kind. Do not let moose lick your car. In Jasper, an alpine town in Alberta, they've had to put up signs asking motorists there to avoid allowing the moose there to lick the salt off their cars. It's a treat that apparently mooses find irresistible. They're obsessed with salt, said the National Park guy. And they usually get it from salt lakes in the park, but now they realize they can get road salts that's splashed into cars. And if you allow them to do that, then they're going to hang around the roads more, and that's going to be very risky. So they recommend that you just drive off if a salt-licking moose approaches your car in Canada. Here's from the TV world of Jeopardy, some news yet. They have not yet announced a permanent replacement for Alex Trebek, who, as I assume you know, died earlier this month after his cancer battle. But Jeopardy will resume production at the end of the month, real quickly here, with a series of interim guest hosts, including Ken Jennings. You remember Ken, a familiar face to Jeopardy viewers. Dubbed the show's greatest of all time earlier this year. He holds show records for most consecutive games won and highest winnings in a regular season. So additional guest hosts will be announced at a later date. And Trebek's final episode is slated to air in the first week of January. The show said it will re-air 10 of his best episodes over the Christmas holiday, when his final episode was originally slated to air. So the Ken Jennings stuff won't start until January. But again, there will be other guest hosts. I don't know if they're trying people out or if they've decided and this is just filler. I don't know that as yet. Well, oh, excuse me. Really got some pumpkin pie stuck in my throat there. While we're on the subject of learning things, we learned this morning that the word of the year is not going to happen this year. The Oxford English Dictionary, unable to name its traditional word of the year for 2020, instead exploring how far and how quickly the language has developed. They said it quickly became apparent that 2020 is not a year that could neatly accommodate one single word of the year. As they say, the language has been adapting rapidly and repeatedly, and they have basically gone instead with a word of the month kind of thing. It started with bushfire in January. You may have already forgotten about the fire issues that Australia had, their worst fire season ever. Then it moved on to acquittal in February with the president's impeachment trial ending. March onward, terms related to the pandemic started to dominate, including COVID-19, a completely new word, and then lockdown and social distancing and reopening. Come June came the use of the phrase Black Lives Matter, followed by cancel culture and BIPOC, B-I-P-O-C. I hadn't heard this, an abbreviation of Black, Indigenous, and Other People of Color. And then we moved on to mail-in and Belarusian. For the month of August, referring to mail-in voting and the controversial election of the Belarusian president, Lukashenko. And then the moonshot, the name the UK government gave its mass coronavirus testing program. That in September. Net zero, super spreader, highlighting October. And, climate emergency came next and toxic. Well, no, I'm sorry, climate energy was last year. Toxic was the year before. So we don't have a word of the year this year, kind of a word of the month. So thank you, Oxford English Dictionary, for that. Here's some other new stuff that maybe you didn't expect. A rather down-to-earth look at wine. This may have been an interesting thing to observe, but a sommelier, they're the wine guys, you know, that know all about the wines. Some liquor stores have them. Some restaurants have them. Anyway, they got one to test a bunch of wines from Costco, Target, and Trader Joe's. And if you care, Target was the winner. So you pick yourself up a case or maybe just a box of Target wine. You can rest assured that that's going to go down well with your Thanksgiving crowd. Maybe. Unless they're snobby. By the way, it is the season, speaking of Thanksgiving, for delicious homemade or even store-bought pies. There's a new pie chart out. This one comes from Instagram, showing the most popular pies for Thanksgiving in every state in the country. 8 different flavors made the cut, and they are, in no particular order, cranberry, cherry, pecan, pumpkin, sweet potato, blueberry, strawberry, and apple. And you will never guess, yes, you will, what the most popular pie in Michigan will be. It's cherry. I don't think that's anybody's surprise to anybody, considering how popular Michigan cherries are. The surprise the data found is that nationwide, at least Instagram users, that's where this survey came from, nationwide, users are talking about cranberry and sweet potato pie more than any other flavor. You could probably blame the cooking shows for that. They seem to have some sort of a fascination with particularly sweet potato pie. If you care about the surrounding area, Ohio likes pumpkin pie. Indiana is into pecan. Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota all like cranberry. Only a few states went with blueberry, including New York. And then, finally, if there's somebody in your circle into the jewelry and the diamonds and that kind of thing, and that might be something on the gift list for you, know that there are some pretty significant changes coming in that industry. Outside of healthcare, it's generally not good when the word blood becomes an adjective for your industry. Critics for years have rightfully criticized the diamond market for its horrible labor practices in war-torn African countries. They've been, you know, referred to as blood diamonds. But now they're starting to make these precious gems in the lab, chemically, physically, optically, the same as mined diamonds. Time advantage is certainly here. They're cheaper, too, about 30 to 50%. A lab can whip these things up in a few weeks, and it may be a little more eco-friendly as well. So there you go. Lab diamonds. Well, why not? We got meat coming out of the lab, right? And everything else is being manufactured chemically and virtually. So synthetic diamonds, they say you can't tell them apart. So maybe that'll relieve some of the issues and the pressure on the blood diamond industry in Africa. We've got sports coming up in a couple of moments. Back in the business desk for a Bloomberg update, too, here at WSJM. And then after the 7 o'clock news, some classic Thanksgiving TV and movie moments for you.